supervisors will reconvene. We're past the public comment of this. I think we're bringing it back to the board. Staff, I guess, do you want anything you want to add from what we've heard from the public comment? If you do, come on up. You're going to get the questions anyway at this point. So
I don't have anything that I need to add. Let me go.
Okay. Haley, nope. Anything? So I'll bring it back to the board. Supervisor Valenzuela, do you want to kick this off?
Sure. This has been something that's been on my plate more or less for the last few years. I thought, you know, initially the way this all developed, and I don't want to rehash all the things, you know, I thought there was agreement, 100% agreement. I thought it was going to be a straightforward project. Obviously, we've opened up a Pandora's box here. You know, I'm quite familiar with the area because before I ever became a supervisor, I worked. That was part of my telephone servicing area, and I just remember being up there numerous times. There's a lot of overgrowth up there, by the way. So, but this particular location, you know, it's at the end of a road, hasn't been touched since I've been around. It was probably, you know, had a plan in before. I think behind it, there was going to be a road there, and now it's going to be a trail. There's never going to be a road there if you look at what's going on there. You know, I would have thought that there would have been 100% agreement. It's pretty straightforward. I do support the project. I think this is, we're not talking about a private entity. We're talking about a public entity, quasi-public entity, a mutual water company that, you know, I do believe the benefits. I think you guys are overselling the whole picture, if you will. To me, it's just a straightforward project. It has practicality, all that. I hate when someone tells me they're going to sue because you're just putting me on the other side of the fence. I got to protect county's interests at that point. And so I'm between a rock and a hard place because I have to support staff, but by the same token, my constituents are telling me, and the vast majority are supportive of this. I feel like I'm playing poker. I'm all in at this point. I went too far with this to begin with. I wish all this would have been done 2 years ago, yay, nay, or up and down, but at this moment in time, I'm going to support the project.
Supervisor Howe.
I have a couple questions about the staff report. One, I'm looking at this exhibit that was given to us. It's photos of the Morgan Way, Monroe Way on it.
Monroe. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Monroe Drive with an easement on the staff report.
That's
on
right here.
Page 3.
That's never going to happen.
Okay, so that would never happen?
No, it wouldn't. Now that second road would actually be running through other people's properties.
And would the county abandon that easement as well, or why are we hanging on to that?
Well, it's only an easement, right?
Right.
We could abandon it, but the section that we're talking about, we actually own a deed.
I guess what I'm asking is, but it's an encumbrance on the deeds.
Sure, we could work on removing that easement.
Just seems like a loose end to me.
you're correct.
Yeah. And then because I don't know, is this a community system or is it a service system? The water company.
It's a community system.
Okay. And then in the staff report of page 1, it says the water pumping system serves 45 residences. Residents. Is that residents or parcels?
Parcels.
Parcels. Okay. That helps me a lot. Thank you. And then what is the proposed height of the solar panels? Do we know?
12 feet.
Okay. Yeah, I would support on this. We often have to make decisions for the greater good, and in this case, it's pretty clear to me that this would benefit the community, and that's where I stand.
Anyone on this end? Supervisor Open?
I think most of the questions that I had as well have been answered. Public safety, fire suppression, and alternative power supply for the water system are all things that are critical, and critical infrastructure is something that I'm always in support of. These are things that you need to have and are really, really important for everybody and every community. Whether it's a small community like you have and you're willing to put yourselves out there and help yourselves do better in your community, I think that's incredible that you're willing to do that for yourselves. We should all be able to do that. And if you're willing to work that hard to get it for yourselves, atta boys and girls, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All of our communities should stand up for themselves and be able to do that. And I will support you in that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Thank you. Yeah, when I reviewed the materials, went over the maps and all those sorts of factors in the comments, it's obvious in the sense of the greater good or the great in the sense of the fact that water systems, sort of Oregon brought it up, that this is a positive thing to have happen. What I have to weigh, of course, is private property rights. I have to look at how those private property rights are impacted. And let's say you're benefiting, you know, a million people, you're impacting one person's private property rights. That would be something you can't do, even if you're benefiting a million. In reviewing everything, this seems to me one of those projects that doesn't impact private property rights. Whether it be one individual, one family, or 10. It seems to be one that has the appropriate mitigation in place, the appropriate place for it to be. This is on will be an abandoned road area that is not owned in private property, but was eminent domain for a solar panel. There's no way I could do that because it wouldn't be appropriate. But it's public ground, you're not paying taxes on it. I'm currently moving forward with this.
Thank you. So there's no schematic. I hear it's 12 feet high, but there's no schematic of what the project looks like. Is that correct? The bird's eye view or side view? No?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Planning hasn't seen that either.
I don't believe so, no.
So what's the zoning consequence to what we're talking about here?
Sure. So, it sounds like the board is in agreement to initiate proceedings. So,
I just want to, Natalie Reed, County Council, I just want to clarify where we are in the process. So what it is sounding like from the board's comments this far is that the board would be directing the planning staff to finish its process with the Planning Commission to determine general plan consistency, after which they would bring a recommendation from the Planning Commission to the board about general plan consistency. And at that time, staff would also bring forward a resolution of intent for board consideration, which, if adopted, would initiate road abandonment proceedings and public hearing setting.
Yes, and I'd also like to add, which I mentioned earlier, Planning Commission did instruct staff to meet to essentially finalize or have a plan for the property negotiation piece. So should that portion be abandoned, Schwartz and Mr. Briggs and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, that would have to be sold at market rate to either adjacent property owner. So I think that discussion, that would be our next step as staff, to get that finalized before we go back to Planning Commission, finish that process, and then elevate the road abandonment to the board level.
Correct. We're, the decision today
was
mainly
just to
direction.
Correct, was to continue the process.
Supervisor Bowser.
What if the Schwartz don't want to buy the property?
Then it would be Mr. Briggs.
Or the Mutual Water Company?
Because this portion would create an undevelopable lot, it can't stand alone as its own lot, so it would have to be bought by either property owner to essentially add to that additional parcel. Because there's nothing it could do standalone legally. It would have to go to either. It'd be merged to either.
Sure. Because I think my concern is with the Schwartz were against this. You know, I don't want to put anything more on them. The fact is we're not doing eminent domain as public thing. But, you know, again, they're against it for whatever reasons. I'm not going to force them to, you know, then I can't go down that path.
Correct, yeah, and they absolutely don't have to, you know, purchase that
right.
portion if they don't want to. But should the project need to, you know, move forward, that would have to be bought by Mr. Briggs in order for it to be placed on that portion and move forward, and for us not to essentially create a zombie project.
Okay, but one of the outcomes of this is going to be changes to our plans, ordinances, and all the things moving forward.
Yeah, and we are working on a local road abandonment ordinance, so we have that in place.
So, just for clarification
mm-hmm.
on what we just were talking about, the property, the abandoned property would be essentially, I guess, split between the shorts and the bigs, depending on who takes what at this point, is that correct? And if one says no, then the other has the opportunity to take the whole?
I'm going to defer to sure. county council.
Yeah. Sure. Bill Carroll, Assistant County Council. Under the Streets and Highways Code, there is a section that states the county can sell the deeded road on whatever terms and conditions it seems fit. Obviously, the purpose of the abandonment is to create this solar array to have a place to have it. So a term and condition probably would be that either the water company or somebody willing to accommodate the array, it would be a condition that the property be sold to them for that purpose. And otherwise, the purpose of the abandonment really makes no sense otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But that those terms and conditions would have to be developed. But generally, the board's got a lot of leeway in the Streets and Highways Code as to how to dispose of
so
property.
Just to get back to my question, it's split essentially in the first part. If it doesn't work to one, the other could pick it up, because I guess where I'm headed with this.
Well, theoretically, yes.
Okay.
I believe we go by boundary line adjustment.
Right. I get that. But I'm just trying to keep it in, I guess, perspective, because everybody out here is going to be wondering how is this going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's more details to that, but I want to at least get a 30,000-foot view of it.
You don't need another
No.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Because it could be that both say no. And then where are we going to be? So, anyway. We'll,
sure.
And so I think Mr. Schwartz had brought up that this is on his property, but I don't think so. I think at least I'm looking at Onyx, and it shows that the road goes a little bit into his property, but essentially the abandonment would be from his property line to the other property line in between. Is that correct? Even
yes.
though the road may not correctly be in that. Is that fair
correct.
To say? Okay. So
yeah, the road doesn't necessarily center punch the. Yes, you're right.
Okay. So it wouldn't necessarily affect being on his property, Mr. Schwartz, if you think. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm at the place where, you know, this should go back, and it sounds like we're going to have a little more discussion about what this looks like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few more details to work out. It's unfortunate that it is where it is and that the purchases that have been made. But I'll tee it up this way. I'm not for opening up yet another can of worms. And if it looks like we're opening more, I guess apprise us as we go down that path. Everything seems simple on the front end, but when you're dealing with government, we always seem to open a door that goes to, you know, a bottomless pit. So I don't want to get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Supervisor.
Well, and I apologize because this is I've been with this from the beginning, and I wish we would have came to it something well ahead of the time. I would say, you know, part of my support for this is caveat on this mutual water company. I think you can work with the Schwartz. I mean, looking at that, dictate where their egress is. If they want one, give them one. You know, I mean, move the ray a little bit farther to Mr. Briggs, who's amenable to having that there.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a one-and-done deal, because if this continues on, I am going to be forced to support staff that says I'm not going to go down this path.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe in the overall good and overall
mm-hmm.
benefit, but I can't continue to take staff time, which is a cost to us,
mm-hmm.
right, it's to the cost of the overall county picture, and, you know, I want to get some finish line finality. Anyway, that's where I'm at. Thank you.
So do you need something formal for direction, or just you?
Or do you have enough?
I think we have the comments of all the board members.
Yeah,
you have the direction.
Yep,
that
we're good.
You need.
Yes,
thank you. We can go forward with that. There's no more public comment on this. So you will be keeping us, or somebody in this, apprised as this goes along. Obviously,
sure.
Supervisor Valenzuela,
yeah.
This is his district.
Of course.
I would just offer one other thing, and when I'm looking at Onyx, and not to derail what you're doing, but there's that strip of land. It looks like, I guess it's county, I'll call it easement. I don't know what else to call that. But is that a possibility as well, if things get... if they get too difficult, if that's another path?
We will convince.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not over yet.
We know.
So okay. Real quick, I know we have First Five Siskiyou here.
Yeah.
I don't know about Siskiyou Union High School. Maybe
I saw her somewhere. There she is. Let's go... let's go to 9B, first five. Karen, are you still here somewhere?
Yeah. We're still on, guys. The recorder is.
Okay. Here we go.
Karen Potts, First Five Siskiyou Children and Families. Should I go over this?
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hold on just a minute. Just hang on. We'll get everybody quieted down so we can hear you.
Hope you prayed extra for me, guys.
I did.
All right, Karen, you're on.
Thank you so much. In front of you, you have the proclamation for Read Across Siskiyou. Every day is Read Across Siskiyou for children and families in our communities and also for adults. We actually, it's just at 11, we had a best-selling trauma author in the room who has done so much to bring awareness around generational trauma. So I hope that he has an opportunity to come back and share about the work that he's done that impacts not just our country, but the entire world. So, but for today, we're here to ask you to adopt the proclamation. Since the event happened and each one of you were part of it, we wanted to share, we thought it would be appropriate to share a little bit, some pictures and some information about the 17th annual Read Across Siskiyou. So, as Supervisor Kopseff knows, and many of you may remember how this started, the annual Read Across Siskiyou event about 18 years ago, Dr. Perlman, who was the health officer for the county, who also was the First Five commissioner, said, I think we should do something special to promote the importance of daily reading. And that became the beginning of the annual Read Across Siskiyou event that started with assuring that every child in Siskiyou County ages 6 and under received books from First Five. And we would bring local individuals who are interested in reading with children to be in the classrooms, to be in preschools, and read with children. His legacy has stayed on. The commission, after the passing of Dr. Perlman, the commission adopted this event as an annual remembrance to him and his efforts around for children and families in our county. Next slide. As you know, this year's book was such a fun book. It was about the big dance, and the author actually did something special. One of our team members, Mackenzie Bowles, who's just this phenomenal person who I need to give credit for creating this PowerPoint, she said, I think we should reach out to the author and see if she would be willing to read specially to children in Siskiyou County. So she was so excited. The author was so excited, and she created a video and a special message to children in Siskiyou County that we'll share with you, and read the book directly to them, and this book will be available on our website. So very exciting. She's from Britain. She's an author who was delighted to be part of our efforts this year. Did you enjoy the book?
Yeah. It was a tough read for those little kids.
It was tough. I felt the same way.
It was a tough read for the readers.
Yes. So something exciting that we did this year, actually in this slide I'll talk about, we had 87 events, reading events across Siskiyou County, so thank you to each one of you and the wonderful team of First Five members and community partners who said yes to working together to provide these reading events from Happy Camp all the way to Tule Lake. We had just under 2,000 books that were distributed, to be exact, 1,947, I think. And then we also show the communities where we have guest readers and 31 guest readers, including each one of you. So thank you so much. These are some slides of individuals who read, and a couple of quotes here, but I have to say my favorite was from Kirk Andrus. Kirk said, "I love this event. It's like Christmas to me." And he finds ways, even though when he's super busy, he had to go to Sacramento, I think, on this day, or had something connected to Sacramento, but he made a point to go to a classroom and read. And of course, Victor Martin shared his privilege for being a guest reader. Some of you may know Victor who's a local musician with Allison in our area. So, and then Pam. These are Joan Freeman. As all of you know, she's a past board of supervisor, and Michael Popsev. And also Sue Tavolaro from Weed Community, yeah. Weed City Council. We do have a video. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Michael. We do this so many. Oh, spelling is not a sign of intelligence.
This is a reading assignment,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, so many eyes looked at that. I apologize. Gosh. Thank
that's
you.
That's all right. The chair
no,
first
not,
five forgives you.
I know. I'm mortified right now.
Beans for me.
Even though I've been read to on a daily basis, I still, sorry about that, truly profusely. We all know that when children are read to a minimum of 3 days a week, they have higher reading scores. And interestingly, if you're interested, we have a report of the annual kindergarten readiness assessments, and what we find is when children are read to, they're more likely to be better prepared for kindergarten. They, simply by daily reading with children, we see a huge impact on reading readiness for kindergartners, and that continues to third grade and beyond. Gosh, sorry. Nancy, I'm so pleased that your name is spelled correctly, and Ed also, and so thank you to each one of you for reading, and then I also wanted to share Karen Quinn, who's the Dunsmuir Library librarian and manager. We're super excited. As some of you may know, we've offered playgroups in the community through a partnership with the Family Resource Centers for quite a few years. And we had a grant opportunity to offer these playgroups in the community for many years. And this last year, the grant requirements were to partner with the local libraries and have the playgroups at the library. And Karen was the first to say yes. And we're so excited and we hope that the building will be repaired fairly quickly so that we can continue that partnership. And we look forward to expanding the partnerships with the libraries. Thank you. We also had the police officer from Josh Short, Officer Short from Aetna Police, and I love the message he sent to us. It says, books are a gift that keeps on giving, basically. This is in Aetna. And of course, everyone knows Colleen. She was a guest reader, and Diane in Scott Valley. We also know that creating positive childhood experiences for little ones helps reduce the effects of adverse childhood experiences. And we know that when a child is being read to, they're never harmed. As the local Child Abuse Prevention Council, we want to continue to offer these kinds of opportunities in our communities, not just for academics and future life success, but also social emotional success. There's something powerful when people take the time to read with children, or just take the time to grow as learners by reading. And thank you, Brendan, our supervisor, Chris. And we're super excited. This year we had a new partnerships with Tiny, Mighty, and Strong. Some of you may know that the Tule Lake Family Resource Center closed its doors. We're partnering with Tiny, Mighty, and Strong to expand services and supports in Tule Lake and Doris area. And it starts with this Read Across the Skew event. And this was, I think, Trisha is the librarian at the Tule Lake Library, and she actually has retired or is in the process of retiring, and we'll look forward to working with the library there, too. Let's see, Krista, some of you may know Krista, who really has been the anchor for bringing families together in South County for playgroups. She's been instrumental to Read Across Siskiyou and our efforts in South County, and also is a quality counts coach, which means she works with children and she works with family child care homes and child care centers to improve the quality. And thank you so much, Supervisor Howe. We also had James Roach and Kathy Scott. Finally, we ended the event with a brand new connection with the YMCA around this. We had a big dance party there. There were over 80, I think, oh, maybe nearly 80 families. I thought it was a little bit more. But it was so fun to have a dinner together and to have two guest readers, including one of their board members, and then a guest who came, Mary, who's the director, the director of Protect Our Children, which is a statewide organization in Oregon, and then also helps with child sexual abuse prevention efforts. So she was a special guest at that event. It was super fun to see not only the children dance and have a great time at the YMCA, but also the families, the parents. Mary Ratliff, and she's sitting down to the right, or to the left. Yeah, thanks. Some more pictures from the event. And as I shared, I'm incredibly proud of the team of people who are part of the small but mighty team who are part of First Five Siskiyou. I'm honored to be the executive director of this amazing commission. Thank you, Supervisor Kopseff, with two Fs, for being the chair of the commission. It's truly an honor. And thank you to each one of you, Board of Supervisors, for taking the time to make this a priority just as much as you make other issues a priority. We appreciate your volunteerism and your connection. Thank you. She says it all. Thanks a lot.
So we need to approve the proclamation, I think. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
So I make that motion.
Second.
I don't have it in front of me, but.
I have one here.
I was hoping you had a maybe a color. Oh, great. Thank you. And are you okay to have, I can send this?
Yes.
Okay, great. We'll get everybody's signatures on it. Okay, Supervisor Hope?
Absolutely.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll go to item 9C, Cisco Union High School District. Marie, I think I saw you somewhere.
I'm here. I just keep jumping in and out. So thank you so much, Board of Supervisors, for letting me come speak to you. I'm Marie Caldwell. I'm the superintendent of Cisco Union High School District. I've been here a fair amount, I think, and I know most of you from various different county events. I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm actually here to say thank you. Thank you both to the Board of Supervisors, also to Sarah Ballard and her team at County Behavioral Health. So in the past 2 years, last year and again this year, Cisco Union High School District has been part of the Mental Health Services Act contracting process. So this is a process where we apply for dollars through Behavioral Health and the Mental Health Services Act to directly serve students in our school district. And you contract with lots of different organizations, but I'm here specifically around Cisco Union High School District because I want to make sure you understand how important both this contract and funding is to our students and our schools. Cisco Union High School District does not receive any direct funding to support mental health services. Over the last, since COVID, beginning of COVID, lots of school districts, including ours, received lots of one-time money. And what happened in those school districts, to a great extent, is a lot of that one-time money was used to help support Mental Health Services Act, or mental health services in the school district. Many districts also worked to align other funding sources to be able to continue to support this super important service, because the state of California, at least directly to school districts, dollars don't come directly to us for this. Just like we don't get dollars directly for facilities, the money comes in and we have to figure out how to pay our people and also serve students. I won't go into complicated school finance, but this is one of the dollar amount that actually goes into the half of the pot of the pie that is everything else, right? You have instruction on one side that you have to spend 55% of your budget for, and everything else on the other side. So school districts like Cisco Union, where we have four small high schools and four different communities, are really challenged to support mental health services in that everything else pot, along with school transportation, maintenance, facilities, et cetera. So I just wanted to share with you that last year, this contract supported, of the 45 students at Catholic Camp High School, it supported 40 students. Of the 250 students at Mount Shasta High School, it supported over 75 direct services to those students. At McLeod High School, of the 8 students there, 8 students received services. And at Meade High School, of the 197 students, over 85 students received services. And that is a direct line of services from this grant funding, from this contracted dollars, into our students to support their mental health. So I wanted to say thank you and be available if you, I know there were some questions maybe a few months ago around that contracting to answer any questions that you might have. And just to encourage you to continue to support organizations, school districts like Cisco Union to access this funding. Just a side note, last year we had a credible threat. Like really we had a student who made a credible threat. We invoked, worked with Mount Shasta PD, went through all of these processes. It was very scary. And mental health services like this help to prevent future issues. We had another one this year at Reed High School. Luckily, it was not found credible, but these things keep popping up. And the more we can support students' mental health early on, I even think earlier than high school, but we only have high school, so early on, prevent future homelessness, criminal activity, and other really negative societal situations. So can I answer any questions specific to services in our district?
Anything down here? Supervisor Chris, anything?
No, I'm in support of this. I think it's a good project to have. Good partnership, put it that way, provide services to those school districts. I know we work with other school districts as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things that happened several years back was I got a email from a superintendent. The email said, help. So the next morning I went over to the school district and listened to them, and we were able to connect through Dr. Clark, through probation, through the sheriff's office, additional resources for that school. So I think it's something that impacts the entire county. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that none of us can hold up ourselves. We have to partner on it. I think partnering with schools and reaching that audience serves beneficial.
As a side note, our county and our school districts are working on sustainable billing for Medi-Cal and through the state Medi-Cal system. So the goal is to really have sustainable funding that is dedicated to mental health services. Until that actually stands up and moves forward, this is a really good option for us.
Supervisor Oldham?
Quickly, I'll just tag along to what Supervisor Chris said. I really appreciate the coordination with Dr. Pillard's group and behavioral health and the other agencies that lift up these programs. And it's just so important to integrate, you know, parents into these programs, because really that's where it all starts. And if we can help parents help our kids, you know, that's really, really, really where these kids learn and get their behaviors from right from the start. So any other programs we can, you know, incorporate into helping parents help their kids, that's even better. And then, of course, just trying to figure out how our taxes can bolster these programs as well, because we're all paying into the school system as well, and we want to know up here that that tax money is being put to good use that goes to the schools before anything else, because all this extra funding seems to be going to those programs too. So we just want to make sure the funding is going to the right places.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
As I think about my high school days, my kids' high school days, and where we are now, just the evolution of mental health and the importance of, you know, I'm dealing in a post-pandemic, so I'm just kind of curious, maybe real quick, how our favorite friend here, you know, online bullying and all that stuff, how you tackle those kind of things.
It's very challenging. In Sister Union High School District, we've worked to, at the classroom level, to come up with solutions so that these, good thing, because yeah, that's why I keep jumping out. We had no water at Mount Shasta High School this morning, but we have water there now. So to work to have them sidelined, certainly during classroom instruction. As a district, we're going to be moving forward with a district level policy. That's going to be required. You know, we really want our community, both parents, our community schools advisories, our leadership teams at the high schools, to be able to co-create that policy so that it's not me or Governor Newsom or whoever standing up, or our board of trustees saying this is what we're going to do, but instead it's co-created so that the whole community has come to an agreement about what we're going to do about them. We've also, one of the ways in which we're leveraging Mental Health Schools Act dollars is partnering with our community schools, planning and implementation dollars, and we've hired a counselor full-time on campus, as well as having a wellness coach on all of our campuses. So we have one counselor and one wellness coach for all four campuses. But we're building a system for mental health and physical services, rather than having what was happening with the one-time dollars. You know, you have this contract, you have that contract, you have this contract. So instead, building a system, which you've heard me talk about this a lot before in workforce development, right? You build a system, and then you find the funding streams to braid to support the system. So district-level policy, we'll be moving forward with that for bullying and the technology. in use on campus throughout the rest of this year. Hopefully we'll have something in place by June-ish. The second is our counselor and our mental health coaches that are working across our district and also partner with county office.
Supervisor Howe?
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of the discussion a month or so ago was centered around why are we involved? You know, because we don't touch the state school system budget. And I think the answer is that people are getting money for it. So that helps clarify that in my mind. And I just a comment, you know, with the phones, I don't know how we raised kids prior to 2000 without them tethered to their parents. You know, and I can't tell you the number of conversations I have with them having to have constant contact with their kids in school. To me, it's just another distraction that takes away from the education process. But just me.
If it makes you feel any better, my own family has Life 360, and my kids spend way more time texting me about, you know, what are you doing there? Why are you going this way? It actually goes the other way. And I've heard other parents say that, too. So
yeah.
Sometimes it goes the other way.
Thank you.
So my questions have been with regard to this and my opposition to it is that AB 1955 is coming into play January 1. And because I feel that parents have a critical role in their students of whatever age they are in school, that this bill now separates that. And yet here we have money going for mental health services that potentially will not have parent involvement. How are you going to reconcile that?
So one of the ways we're reconciling that is through informed consent. So really partnering with families to say, we have these services, we are going to work really hard to let parents know that you know, that these services are being offered, and in partnership with parents, because similarly, I think that Supervisor Ogren stated, we can't do it alone. Sometimes we're forced to because for whatever reason, the family system is broken and the parents and students are not working together. But it is our goal at Siskiyou Union High School District is to work in partnership with parents. And we're doing that through informed consent as well as through our community services advisory. So we're standing up community. So you've probably heard the community schools conversation. And community schools is about a collaborative leadership model, which puts an equal seating at the table, parents, students, teachers, admin, community, and business, all at the same table to collaborate and move forward. So around mental, so that's a long answer to your short question probably, but around how are we making sure we're partnering with parents is through community schools model, through informed consent. For being very transparent at the school district level and at the site level so parents know what's available to their students. And also if there's a challenge or a problem or a concern where we have a student who is like, no, working with that student through our counselor and our wellness coach to be able to coach and work with that student and parent to do it in partnership. I always give the example, there's been this rule forever, when students are 18, they get to sign their own notes, they get to do their own thing. And I say, okay, that's great. As a principal, I would sit down with a parent and that 18-year-old student, and I'd say, okay, you're an adult now, you have a choice. And I would leave it to the parent, to the student, you have a choice. You can be an adult, that means we're treating you like an adult, that means you don't get the buy, and I'd list the five or six things that we would give gray area, right, for that person. And, you know, if we're sitting here in the office, you and your parent, and you're telling us all here that you don't want your parent pulling on the rope to help us get to the end, then we'll all abide by that. Very rarely, I don't think ever, did I ever have a student who said, no, I don't want my parent involved. Even when, you know, when it was challenging, they often want their parents involved.
So is that policy of the board?
The policy for informed consent?
Yeah.
It is informed consent, yes. Now, if we have a student who says, absolutely not, no, we have to abide by law. That's 12 and older.
I guess, and that's my whole point.
We have to abide by law.
Especially with AB 1955, because that's going to create more of that divide, I think, than you've seen in the past.
Yes, but I do believe that we have awesome counselors on our campus, academic counselors. We have awesome principals on our campus, and we have our mental health services team, and we have teachers and admin together as a team. I think working together, that's how we're going to overcome that. Now, when it comes down to law, you're right. I as an administrator, I'm not going to break the law because that becomes my credential and my I put my school district at financial jeopardy. And my number one goal as superintendent is to maintain financial responsibility.
Understood, but yeah. I think AB 1955 brings in another aspect from the parents' side of liability to the school as well.
It does.
I believe that law is unconstitutional to begin with, so I think there's going to be a challenge one way or the other.
Probably.
So I would appreciate seeing the informed consent policy.
Sure.
If you can send that on, that would help me. I have said as well that the schools, for instance, I'm going to use this as an opportunity because I think the public needs to be educated, as well as we need assistance from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
68 roughly percent of the property tax that everybody pays in the county, city and in county, goes to schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I'm going to use the Gazelle SPI seedling nursery project, $40 million project, brand new to the county, $400,000 a year roughly in property tax,
mm-hmm.
of which the school system now will receive about $270,000 of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's new dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The school districts, many of them have a new construction per square foot fee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having trouble reconciling why additional funds are needed for the school system when they have that ability of new dollars coming in and a large proportion of that, because the county share is 22%, the cities are 6% roughly.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm headed with that, besides the money factor itself, is when new projects come to Siskiyou County, whether it's in a school or in the county itself,
mm-hmm.
an improved area, it would be great to have the support of school districts coming to the table in support of projects, because they really receive the biggest benefit on the property tax value that comes with that new project. But it's always silence, and it bothers me, because they should be at the table, because we know there's been shortage of funds, but yet when new projects are coming, for me at least, the school districts, if it's a good project, obviously, not a fly-by-night, but something that's solid and going to be here, the schools should be, you know, weighing in with their support for that. So,
I would agree, and I will put on my workforce development hat, because you know, I'm shifting to a personal hat here. So, you know, over the last 4 years, mm-hmm. I've been very involved with SiskiWorks, very mm-hmm. involved with workforce development, very involved with bringing dollars into the grant dollars into the county, new grant dollars into the county to support workforce development, because the only way we're going to survive as a county is if we can figure out how to create high wage, high skilled jobs and keep our students here as they go. Yes, we want them to go, we want them to experience, but then we want them to come back and contribute to their community. And we're actually seeing that to a great degree, not as much in South County as I personally would like to see. We're seeing it more in North County. I think South County, we just need to work to develop the messaging and also those connections with our alumni and our parents to understand we have really great jobs here. And we have projects like the SPI, like Crystal Geyser, like some other projects that are coming down the way that can support a really lovely living wage and a quality of life that you have here that you don't have in other places in the state. And so I would agree with you. I think that as school districts, we do need to be side by side in both those with business, which is why I'm a firm believer in that community schools model. So we unfortunately didn't get the dollars for a plan for implementation in Mount Shasta High School. We did get it in Happy Camp, and that is standing up in partnership with the tribe and the community there. We'll apply for Reed High School. But even though we didn't get the dollars from Mount Shasta, we're still committed to moving forward on that community schools leadership model and leveraging some other dollars. So
And then lastly, your staff, whether it's wellness or counselors or wherever, they're licensed for the mental health services product that you're under contract for.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Last? Okay.
So again, thank you. And
right. Thank
we look
you
forward
for
in Siskiyou High School District in partnership moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. Wendy, you all right yet?
Yeah.
All right. So let's take up Friends of Siskiyou County Museum. And I'd like to recognize former Supervisor Grace Bennett. I think she's involved in this somehow. Good morning.
Good morning. These are for you guys to
okay.
What we're going to talk about. First of all, thank you very much for letting us be here with you and kind of just let us let you know what we've been doing and how we're doing.
You need name for the record?
My name is Debbie Peters.
Thank you.
I'm the current president of the Friends of the Siskiyou County Museum. With me today is Grace Bennett, past president and board supervisor. We just wanted to update and share with you some of the main things that we do to keep our museum open and running. Our museum is open due to the volunteers that make this possible. Just this year alone, we have over 1,500 volunteer hours. Since January 2024 to current, we have received over $5,000 in donations. Our admissions are at over $2,000, and our store is over $5,200. So we do very well bringing in a lot of the smaller things, and we do get grants. And on the first page of your packet, it shows stuff that we have already taken care of and paid for and or grants, so out of our account. We provide research help at no charge, but we do accept donations. Create new rotating exhibits to maintain interest in the museum. We present free lectures and presentations via our Siskiyou Story Series. We host field school group field trips, and our schoolhouse program in the Outdoor Museum's spring schoolhouse is unique. We award 1 to 2 scholarships every year to deserving Siskiyou County High School seniors. We publish a quarterly newsletter, publish a cookbook, and several other titles. Put on special events such as hosting an antique appraiser and our annual Family Fun Day, which had nearly 500 visitors this year. Outdoor museum improvements, you can see our attached Outdoor Museum Master Plan. Frequent purchases of needed items such as computer printers, square point of sale setup, leaf blower, folding chair racks, binding machine, folding table, landscaping wood chips, and plants. We place a large scale enlargements of historic photos over the defunct windows on the museum building exterior with some donations from local businesses. Definitely something you should come by and see because they're really nice. We refurbished historic saddles following an arson fire in our storage building. 2 years ago that happened. And we're working on long neglected cataloging of artifacts owned by Siskiyou County stored in museum basement. We just wanted to let you know that we're always very busy and we're always looking for new volunteers because it's a lot of work. We just have a handful of us. But we work well together and we really enjoy it. So, that's about all I have to say. Questions?
Questions from anyone?
I can say the Family Fun Day. Well done. That was a mini fair.
Yeah.
I'll put on my volunteers. That's
yeah.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, very well done. The museum exhibits. I love the new entryway. I saw some baseball characters on there,
mm-hmm.
Their cards with the locals. Very well done.
That's our wall of fame, and they're all famous people out of our county.
Yeah, very
so,
well.
That's fun.
Okay. So, go ahead, Grace.
Okay. As Debbie said, she's our president. Selma Chance is our vice president. She's a store manager. We have a store in the museum that keeps us going, and it's very productive. Carolee Scala is our treasurer. Jill Livingston is our secretary, and she does research, writes grants, does all kinds of great things. Gail Jenner does the Siskiyou stories. Jill used to do those, but she's turned that over to Gail Jenner. Karen Cleland works there a lot and does lots and lots of research. Francis Didham and Father John, and I'm not even sure what John's last name is, but anyway, he's on our board and he comes and he helps us and keeps us on the straight and narrow. And Catherine Turney, she works in the front office and she's a school teacher. She's developed a program that brings in the outlying schools, bring their kids to our little schoolhouse, and the schoolhouse has all the desks and things. And she designs a day of work, and the kids are there for about 2 days, and she has class like it used to be. She dresses mm-hmm. up. They have recess, and they play hopscotch and jacks and all kinds of old-fashioned games, and it's really, really a well-received program. We have lots and lots of kids that come for that. Bruce Stingy, he's a retired museum curator from Dunsmuir, and he comes and helps us with our displays and things. And when he first started coming in, he took down all of the fronts of the displays and cleaned everything, because there's a very precise way that you have to do that. So we're very grateful for Bruce to come in and help us. And Sarah Erickson, she does a lot of cataloging for us. She's not into meet and greet people, but she's really great at doing cataloging. There's some things that we're working on that we need the county's help with. And we're working with the county staff on these things. And our back stairs are totally rotten. And so they're falling down, and so we're working on getting some new back stairs. But that means that we've had to close off the upstairs because there isn't an exit from the upstairs so that people can get out if there's an emergency. So we really need that taken care of soon. The saddle shed building, say that three times. Anyway, that a portion of that was destroyed in the arson fire, and a lot of the saddles. We've had 10 of the saddles reconditioned that we were able to save, and we have those stored in the Brookside building. And we'd like to have the museum painted. It's getting really, all of it, it really needs it. And we've gotten a new roof, but the roof on the porch has a leak in it, and that's going to be a problem soon. And we have a lot of dead trees in our outdoor museum. The workability group comes and helps us clean that, and we have lots of people that come in and help us clean that up. And digitizing our records, we would really like to find somebody that can do that on a regular basis and get those records all digitized, because there's lots of them, and we're getting more all the time. The Seroptimist Club dissolved, so we have all of their records. They have like 50 years of records, and there's some things that you just don't want to go to the dump, and so we have to keep, we have to keep things. The Trail Riders Club has dissolved, and so we have some of those things. And as you all know, Bob Rice's records, we've been approached about taking those records too. And all of those things are so important to have in our collection. And so we need help digitizing those things and keeping those things. And then lastly, I'd like to thank county staff for helping us. Ms. Davis has helped us a great deal, and Nancy Ogren has helped us when we need somebody to cast ideas off of. Elizabeth Nielsen, she's been very helpful, and Sherry Lawson. And our go-to person is Chris Forrester, if we need a work order done and those kinds of things. And then I'd like to thank Scott Setzer and Travis Jackson and their crew. They are wonderful. We could call them, put in our work order, call them, they show up, take care of whatever we need to be taken care of for us. And our new cleaning crew, for the museum is wonderful. They've just come in, take care of business, and do their thing. And our security guys, so nice to have security guys around. We've had problems with the homeless going across the bridge and being around the building a lot. And so it's really, really nice to have the secure guys there. It makes us feel better. I mean, and sometimes one person is there by themselves. We try to have more people there, but we have lots and lots of visitors. We have visitors from all over every place. We had some people there from Sweden the other day. I mean, it's just totally amazing, the people that come, the research that is done there. When they were doing, we have people come and do research about on the Klamath River and all of that kind of stuff. We have tribal people come in and look through our books and things. We have such an extensive library of important information. And I always say the museum is a keeper of our history. So it's, I think that's really, really important for us. And do you have any questions that we can answer?
Go ahead.
I just want to say, when I grow up, Grace, I want to be like you. And you are the keeper of our history. You have created this amazing place where people feel comfortable. And if you are there, you can answer any question that anybody has. And the projects that I've worked on that require any kind of historical data, you are the one that can tell me where to go and how to find it and where it is, and times a million. There's everything in there has your information and your fingerprints all over it. You know that place like the back of your hand. And
well,
it's amazing what you've done there.
This group of ladies is a tremendous group of ladies. They all have their expertise. They work. We all work together really, really well. And it's really special to have.
And you know how to find the people that can make that happen. I'll tell you what, you have. From saddles to finding somebody to put a roof on, to everything else, it's an incredible place because of you and all the people that you work with. So I appreciate you so much.
It's
thank
really,
you. This
it's
county
really
appreciates
cool place.
You so much.
And it's a great
thank
place.
You.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to direct my comments mainly to you, Grace, because I know you're the catalyst for every project that you get behind. People that have asked me about, well, what do you think about this? And I tell them, if Grace is in charge, just get out of her way, and everything will be fine. Because you're very successful in that, and I appreciate that greatly. And as well as we miss you on the board, because a couple of us have had the pleasure of working with you when you were on this board as well. So thank you for all you do for Siskiyou County.
It's really nice to have great people to work with, too. And nobody can do any by themselves. You have to
but
have
they need a leader, still. And you've been it, so thank you.
You have to have good people around you. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
Have any questions?
No.
We invite you to come by and see the museum. and our front entrance is our Hall of Fame, and we have Charlie Bird in there. We have baseball stuff. Debbie's father, stepfather. Lauren Payne wrote tons and tons of books, and he's in there.
It's a beautiful display.
Yeah.
You did a great, great job.
Yeah. And we have, Bruce helps us do those kinds of things. Jill's very, very involved in doing stuff, so it's really fun. So come by and see what we're doing, and it's lots of fun.
Quick question for you.
We are going to be closed.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
And we open January 7th.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you pursued, I know I'm going to open up a can of worms here,
That's
so just
okay.
bear with me.
That's okay.
And I know my CAO is going to look at me and go, don't go there. But I'm going to step out a little
he's
bit.
Gonna
he's going to do it.
So have you looked at for a grant of some kind? You know, last year, I'll say, we had residents come forward about the gold display.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's still under wraps and nobody gets to see it, but I guess I'm more interested in a virtual display of something that could be screened in the museum so that there wouldn't be essentially a liability of risk for somebody stealing anything.
Right.
But I guess I would encourage that if there's grant funding out there for something like that, that you might pursue something.
We'll put that on our list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea because that would be really, really special to have.
People ask all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
that's
food for thought.
Okay.
All right.
We'll
thank you.
We'll
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Grant funding, remember that. Grant funding. I'm trying to stay in good graces. All right, we're going to go to item 8C. Klamath stuff, I think. Is that right?
Correct. Good, I think, still morning. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Good morning, Board. And I do have a PowerPoint, so I'll give Anna just a second. And then, Anna, if you could go to the next slide, please. So, recognizing that the removal of the four lower Klamath River dams and associated construction activities would damage county roads used during the project, in May of 2021, the county entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Klamath River Renewal Corporation to mitigate harm to the county's road system. This included KRC investing $2.2 million in work to Kopko Road prior to heavy loading, and the county undertaking repairs to Kopko Road, Ager Road, and Ager-Beswick Road during the same time period. The county's work would be funded by KRRC, where KRRC was required to deposit $810,000 into a trust account for the county to draw on. Next slide, please. It became clear in early 2023 that the damage to Kopko Road would be greater than originally anticipated, and that this damage would continue throughout heavy hauling, meaning that even with the work dedicated in the MOU, Kopko Road would likely be in much worse condition by the end of the project. The parties agreed that it would be more beneficial to the public to dedicate or to amend the MOU to dedicate $625,000 to maintenance work during the project or during heavy hauling and secure $2,235,000 for after project work to bring the road to a safer condition following heavy hauling. This amendment also shifted funding from Ager Road and Ager-Beswick Road to Kopko Road, as Kopko Road was the primary haul route for KRRC's contractors. KRRC had originally intended to rely on Ager Road and Ager-Beswick as a significant haul route. However, this relied on the use of privately owned Lakeview Road, which private landowners subsequently denied access along. Director Deeney will have an update on the condition of Ager Road and Ager-Beswick Road following my presentation. The county has received reimbursement for its work on Ager Road. There was some funds that were remained for Ager Road in the second or the first amendment in the amount of $50,000, and KRRC did meet the maintenance obligations in the first amendment. And the funds that have been spent under the MOU thus far are outlined in red. Next slide, please. Moving forward to today, heavy hauling and significantly increased traffic during project activities has deteriorated Kopko Road to a degree that was beyond expectation and threatens public safety and public access. Director Deeney has continued to keep the board and the public apprised of these issues, and Public Works crews have been making repairs to Kopko Road monthly. However, these repairs primarily serve to keep the road in a drivable condition, but do not address the long-term impacts. Recognizing that the current MOU and First Amendment did not include adequate funding or work to address this long-term need, county staff requested a meeting in September with KRRC staff. Since this time, we have been negotiating a second amendment to the MOU with KRRC. Today, we are presenting to you the draft second amendment and asking that the board approve the second amendment and authorize the county administrator or her designee to sign in substantially the same form consistent with the MOU and the first amendment. This amendment requires that KRRC transfer to the county $3.5 million for the county to repair Kopko Road. KRRC shall donate to the county up to 2,000 yards of road base owned by KRRC for the county to utilize for repairs to Kopko Road. The first notice of dispute regarding roadway work pursuant to the amended MOU is withdrawn. I'll dive into that in just a second. And the parties agree that these amended terms satisfy and complete all remaining duties of the parties under the MOU, including the First Amendment to the MOU. The second amendment supersedes any different terms in the MOU or its first amendment. So as a reminder regarding the first dispute, in early January this year,
Several days start following the start of drawdown of Iron Gate Reservoir. A portion of Copco Road along the reservoir began slucking, causing significant damage to the road. KRC's contractors made repairs in the amount of $277,000 and change. In March, KRC issued a notice of dispute under the MOU and proposed that the MOU should cover this expense, which would have meant that $277,000 would have been debited from funding available for post-dam removal work. The county has maintained since January that KRRC is responsible for this cost and they should not be reimbursed through the MOU. So the second amendment will withdraw that second dispute, or that first dispute, it goes away. I would like to call Director Deeney to provide an update on Copco Road and to briefly describe his plans to make repairs to Copco Road should the board approve the second amendment. But before I do that, I would like to take a second and thank Director Deeney and County Council Natalie Reed for their significant work on getting us to this point. I also would like to acknowledge that this has been one of the most productive and successful interactions with KRRC up until this point, which is a huge improvement from 6 months ago when communication had really broken down. With that, I'll bring up Director Deeney and then we're open to taking questions.
Tom Deeney, Director of Public Works. The report on Copco Road remains unchanged. We did, during the entire construction season, have one crew up there 1 week a month, and we made absolutely no forward progress, right? We just slowed the deterioration to try to keep it passable. Winter is tougher. We can't get our hands on any hot mix to do permanent repairs, but last week we spent some time up there with some grindings to patch up potholes, make it drivable, and we compacted them in. Grindings are a more expensive material to use, but it won't blow out as readily as cold patch or just straight base would. So that will be the plan to continue until next construction season starting in spring. There was a lot of energy around Ager Beswick Road. A couple of weeks ago, I received a citizen complaint and I drove the road and did a survey in its entirety. I believe that might have been just a misnaming of the problem. Ager Beswick has not shown any significant wear, not anywhere near the level of Copco. That road will be repaired by standard maintenance coming up in the next construction season. The deal that's in front of us here, we negotiated it for a couple of months. It will be adequate to restore Copco to its pre-existing condition, actually better than. And I would ask that you accept it. And now I have any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Supervisor Howe?
First off, I want to thank you, Director, for your responsiveness to my public. Folks on Copco Road the road's a mess, and you know it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's almost a four-over road at this point. It's been destroyed in places. I appreciate the work that's been done up there. And because you've interfaced our public the way you have, when I just say we're doing everything we can, that seems to calm things down a bit. And coupled with the fact that we're just going to have to wait for better weather in the spring to get some of these things. A couple questions I had about this project. One, I guess I was under the assumption all along this is a mimic of the surface of the road, but is there extensive damage or any damage to bridges or culverts that's not covered in the MOU?
So we installed a monitoring program for both of the main bridges, and there has been no significant deflection in either bridge, so no permanent damage there. The culverts are in much the same. We didn't have as extensive monitoring of the culverts. We're just monitoring flow and outflow, make sure it doesn't look like it's plugged up, and they seem to be okay.
Okay. And then I think we talked about this some time ago, and we're going to check into it, but uh, I we don't think Patricia Avenue, which is suffered quite a bit of damage, it was in the MOU.
Patricia Avenue was not in the MOU. It was not included. I did on my Ager Beswick trip. I was in the neighborhood, so I went down Patricia. They have suffered some damage, and we will increase their priority in the maintenance schedule. I plan on doing some chip sealing, crack sealing out there in the summer to hold it over until we can do a full overlay.
Yeah, and I know it's in Supervisor Chris's district, but I happened to be looking at top for the day I was out there, and I drove down Patricia, and I couldn't believe the deterioration between when we were up there for our public meeting versus when I was up there a couple months later. It's pretty significant from a subsidence standpoint. So anyway, I appreciate the work, support what you're doing, support the MOU.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
No support the MOU, great job.
Thank you.
Looking for action from the board.
So moved.
Have a motion and a second.
Thank you. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Do we keep going? We're going to try to get through 10 and then we'll take a break. How's that?
Yes.
That'll work.
Yep.
10A, local emergency for lower Klamath Dam removal.
Hello, Elizabeth Nielsen again, Deputy County Administrator. Let me flip through the notes. So, as an update, we just received the results from the county's most recent heavy metal testing yesterday afternoon. After a brief review by our contractor, the numbers are relatively the same as August. It appears that the iron and aluminum concentrations went down in most of the sampling locations. We do need to perform a more thorough review, but currently what we're seeing is that the heavy metal loads are below drinking water standards. As far as air quality, I did speak with the Director of Air Pollution Control District, Jim Smith, this morning. He said that they just pulled last week data from the EBAM air monitors. At this time, there is no concern, but he is concerned that come springtime, as Res gets out there to do restoration work and starts disturbing the soils, that there could be an air quality concern, especially as the soils start to dry out and they're tampered with. We have made requests to state OES for additional water quality sampling. As I've informed the board, didn't get anywhere there beyond what KRC had dedicated earlier this year, and so no other updates, although I do want to reiterate that the state was the entity that provided the EBAM air monitors. That's what I have at this point. Happy to take any questions.
Mr. Shinoni, do you have anything to add before we go to...
Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services. As per requested by the board, we did reach back out to the state asking about if there was any additional support or support moving forward with a local emergency, and their stance is still the same, which is no, besides the air monitoring.
Okay. Questions? Supervisor Howe?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Director Dean a couple months ago about livestock watering and irrigation standards for aluminum. And some of the states, I think, that we checked into that had standards. Our state doesn't have a standard for such a thing, is my understanding. But we were 100 times what other states allow.
10 times?
10, well, whatever it was. I mean, it was more than significant.
Yeah.
I guess I need to know where we're at with that. Where's that headed? You talked about some kind of study or something. I've got a couple of producers down river asking me those questions, and I don't have any answers for them.
Okay. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Don't have anything solved for you right now. We're working with local ag. Council UC Davis there. They have a list of six items that were up for review for funding to do. This was number six on the list.
I need to get an update from them exactly. They're going to proceed with that study or not.
Okay. I mean, honestly, that's the only reason I'm hanging on to the emergency declaration, I think, at this point. But it is significant for the downward course.
Yeah. And it, as the, Elizabeth mentioned, the heavy metals in the aluminum and the iron, aluminum is a primary constituent that's an issue with cattle and so forth.
Right.
Other states, as we talked about, 5 parts per million is kind of the area of concern. The upper stretch of the climate on this sampling limit was below that, actually. There's been a decline. So.
Okay. But we were at 300 parts per million?
Well, we were around 30, 50. Standard's 5, right?
So. Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else?
Do we have a baseline for that previous to the decommissioning?
We did not have a reliable baseline for heavy metals.
And, but right now, currently needs drinking water standards?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Based on a review since we received it yesterday.
Anyone else? So what's the wishes of the board on this declaration?
I'll make the motion to extend.
I'll second that motion.
I mean, for just discussion before we take that vote, this, and I think Supervisor Hopp, where you're headed is to find out further downriver with regard to the study on livestock watering?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
That's where, okay, thank you.
Okay. Ready now?
Yeah.
All righty, Supervisor Hopp?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 10B, the illegal cannabis cultivation declaration. Motion
is still illegal.
Are you standing? What's the wishes of the board?
Could I ask?
Sure.
Just interject here. You know, and I know where we're at with this, and I do think it's an issue, a long-standing issue, but, you know, again, can we revisit maybe a different verbiage, I mean, where we're at in this moment in time? Because it just seems, to me, if we've been renewing, it's just the same verbiage that we started with. I think we need an updated emergency declaration. Again, this has been going on for years. We're crying wolf in this.
I thought, if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Davis, wasn't the sheriff supposed to give us some type of an update on this?
Mm-hmm.
An updated emergency
correct.
Day?
But we need to extend it into January.
Okay. All right. And we'll have the new language.
We'll have the updated.
Okay. 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 Thank you.
Move to extend.
Okay.
Have a motion.
And a second. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So when we do look at revising this, I should like to focus a little more on the groundwater contamination and other aspects of this.
Okay.
And who was our second?
Me.
Supervisor Hopp.
Thank you. All right. Supervisor Hopp?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Obrin?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Trinone.
Thank you.
If we can take a couple
minutes.
So
we'll take a 5-minute break.
Thank you.